Since 2022, Russia has launched a full-scale invasion of Ukraine, bringing war back to European soil after decades of relative peace. The conflict represents a significant threat to security and stability for all of Europe, and will have far-reaching consequences for years. This means that the issue has been at the top of EU foreign policy agenda since the beginning, with several actors in the EU institutions contributing to the formation of the European response. We are Anna Maria Kuczynska,
Leonardo Chianese,
and Mirko Battaglia.
And today we will discuss the role of the High Representative, Vice President in EU foreign policy, and the position of Kaja Kallas, High Representative of the EU for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy, regarding the ongoing conflict between Russia and Ukraine. This podcast has been created as part of the EU as a Global Actor project at the University of Bologna under the supervision of Professor Elena Baracani and Michele Danese.
We have chosen to analyze 10 speeches made individually by High Representative Kallas from December 1, 2024, when she took office as the High Representative and Vice President of the European Union, until April 3, 2025. For our analysis, we used qualitative methods of speech analysis, which have certain challenges, such as difficulty identifying the origin of an idea and discerning an institution's official position from the leader's personal opinions. We found the speeches on the European External Action Service's website, and we have selected speeches made by Kaja Kallas at various occasions, such as after meeting with President Zelensky, after the Foreign Affairs Council, European Parliament plenary sessions, European Council meetings, European Defence Agency's conference, and others.
From the speeches, we have analyzed her ideas and linked them together to answer our main research questions, which are: as newly appointed in this role, what are Kaja Kallas' priorities regarding the Russian full-scale invasion of Ukraine, and which tools is she employing to push those instances? In this podcast, we will first look at the changes in the global context that have happened since the start of the war. The second part will focus on the role and resources of the High Representative Vice President. Afterwards, we will talk more about who Kaja Kallas is, how did her personal life experience shape her view of the crisis, and finally, in the last part, we will look at the position and conception of the conflict and the EU's answer to the crisis.
All right, let's begin with the international context. We can see that the conflict has brought massive changes to the European security architecture, and multiple important global changes can be highlighted as well. The war has led to disruptions of global food chains and fluctuations in energy prices, with Europe having to reevaluate its energy dependence on Russia, which is still an ongoing issue. The crisis has led European countries to welcome millions of refugees from Ukraine, and it is still unknown for most of them when they will be able to go back home. Russia had to face significant changes in its alliances. While it faces diplomatic isolation from European countries, it has shifted to a closer relationship with countries such as North Korea and Iran, the former of which has been hands-on involved in the war. And then China seems to retain a cautious position, neither openly supporting nor condemning Russia's actions.
One of the most sensitive issues that Kaja Kallas is facing a few months into her mandate is, of course, the relations with the United States of America. In her speeches, she reaffirms that the alliance with the US has been successful for decades and will continue to be strong. But we are yet to see how the situation will develop with the US threatening to withdraw its support. The war has led to the expansion of NATO, with Finland and Sweden now being members of the alliance as well. However, it is clear that Europe is on a path to lessen its defense reliance on the US. And EU member states, especially those closer to Russia, are increasing their defense spending and developing their defense capabilities. The previous High Representative, Josep Borrell, was already well versed in his role when he had to deal with the outbreak of war. Still, now Kaja Kallas has to not only adjust to her position as the leading diplomat of the EU, but also deal with the ongoing conflict and the complexity of the current international order. Now let's continue with looking deeper into what the actual role of the High Representative is.
The High Representative for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy is central to EU's foreign policy. Created in 2009 under the Lisbon Treaty, its role, as highlighted in the Treaty of the European Union, was created to, and I quote, ensure the consistency of the Union's external action and to be responsible within the Commission for responsibilities incumbent on its external relations and for coordinating other aspects of the Union's external action. In order to be more efficient and enforce cooperation among institutions, the role of High Representative is double-hatted. At the same time, it bridges the two institutions as Vice President of the European Commission and the Chair of the Foreign Affairs Council. This position requires adaptability and flexibility, as it should deal with European and national interests, as well as supranational and intergovernmental decision-making.
The High Representative is in charge of the Common Foreign and Security Policy, and also the Common Security and Defence Policy, implying a strong capacity to build consensus among member states as part of the decision-making process. They can make proposals to shape the common foreign and security policy, but they have no authority to decide on such matters. Finally, as the head of the European External Action Service, the Union's diplomatic service, the High Representative is responsible for representing the European Union on the global stage and in international institutions.
This multitude of tasks allows shaping a proper EU foreign policy. It creates real potential to strengthen EU foreign policy as it breaks down institutional barriers, provides oversight, and allows for employing of a wide range of EU instruments. However, this role faces constraints, as it should share the responsibilities and powers with other members of the European foreign policy constellation, like the President of the Commission, the President of the European Council, as well as each member state's representatives.
In order to understand the current vision of the High Representative, it is essential to dive deeper into her personal background. Kaja Kallas was born in Estonia in 1977, in a family known for its liberal and pro-European political commitment. Indeed, her father, Siim Kallas, was a former Estonian Prime Minister and European Commissioner. Growing up in a nation with a complex history of Soviet occupation and in a family with a history of political repression, as she mentioned in one of her speeches,
I grew up behind the Iron Curtain, with no choices and no freedom. And when Estonia regained its independence, we had the chance to live a life full of freedom, democracy and choices. A life with the European Union.
Such context has deeply influenced her perspective on sovereignty and democracy. Kallas has a personal connection to the struggles against authoritarianism. This history informs her advocacy for human rights and her support for nations fighting for independence and resisting external aggression. Her legal and economic expertise further constructed her approach to foreign policy, emphasizing the rule of law and economic resilience as pillars of democratic societies.
Her political career started in 2011, after her election to the Estonian Parliament, where she chaired the Economic Affairs Committee. Subsequently, she served as a member of the European Parliament from 2014 to 2018, focusing on digital innovation and energy policies. After becoming the leader of the Reform Party, in 2021, she became Estonia's first female prime minister. Her tenure as prime minister lasted until July 2024, during which she was known for having a strong stance against Russian aggression and her advocacy for Ukraine's sovereignty. Kallas is often described as a decisive leader, sometimes called the Iron Lady of Europe, because of her lack of fear of opposing European leaders and her firm stance against Kremlin policies. For example, in June 2021, Kallas confronted German Chancellor Angela Merkel at a European Council meeting, opposing Merkel's plan to invite Russia's President Vladimir Putin to a summit of European leaders. Her opposition surprised other gathered leaders, but then successfully contributed to encouraging fellow leaders to force Merkel not to invite Putin.
But what are her positions and conceptions of the conflict? Looking at her speeches, she made clear from the first day when she visited President Zelensky in Kyiv that Ukraine is at the top of her priorities. Contrary to, for example, US President Donald Trump's position, she firmly believes that Russia is solely responsible for this conflict and that it should pay for its war crimes, and that Ukraine and the EU should not give in to the aggressor's demands, as it only emboldens them.
Let's be clear. The war can end instantly if Russia, the only one responsible, withdraws its troops and stops bombing Ukraine. Russia can stop this war at any time, but it has chosen not to, despite all the efforts so far, because it has not achieved its war aims. This has not changed.
With the second Trump presidency threatening to stop aiding Ukraine and claiming that Europe was free riding on US defense, she also saw it as a wake-up call that European NATO members should spend more on defense, also to become less dependent and reinforce strategic autonomy, which should also enable them to help Ukraine even more. Nonetheless, she still sees the US and NATO as strong allies, believes that European unity is extremely important to win this war, and defines the problem very smartly by claiming that it is a matter of regional defense rather than national defense.
The point of the white paper is that both can be done together because it does not concern national defense alone, but regional defense. Doing them together allows to have capabilities put in place and spend less. Kallas sometimes alluded to the concept of peace through strength, which dates back to Roman times with Emperor Hadrian's Wall that defended attacks from the north of Great Britain. Therefore, meaning her support for a military build-up to deter attacks on European soil and give the EU some geopolitical credibility. Such initiative would make the bloc a more active instead of reactive agent. This aligns with her worldview, where she mentions cooperation with partners several times, except with Russia, which she perceives and describes as a long-term systemic rival.
Russia will remain a long-term threat to the European Union, no matter the outcome of its war in Ukraine. So strengthening Europe's own defense capabilities is also crucial.
Now, let's look at how Kaya Kallas has answered the crisis. So, Kaya Kallas believes that member states should be prepared for a potential war, and it should be a priority to invest more into the defense industry, continuing to support Ukraine with ammunition, weapons, military equipment, and also improving our own defense capabilities. It does not seem that the conflict will be solved shortly, and the EU should have a long-term plan. Kallas believes that, and I quote, "The best way to prevent a war is to be unmistakably ready to win one."
She also supports the use of sanctions and the use of Russian frozen assets to help Ukraine. And also countries that support Russia's war should be sanctioned according to her, such as North Korea and Iran. Respect for human rights and accountability for war crimes are also issues that Kallas strongly advocates for in her public declarations. For example, she supports the establishment of a special tribunal for the crime of aggression for the crimes against Ukraine.
Kaya Kallas has a hardline position on Russia and sees it as the aggressor. So it is difficult to have peace talk with Russia. Ukraine's territorial integrity and sovereignty are issues that are non-negotiable. And there should be no peace talks or deals made without Ukraine's involvement or the EU's. Putin is scared of the expansion of democracy, the principles that the EU stands for, and the EU should respond by strengthening its geopolitical role as the leader of democratic countries.
To summarize what we have discussed today, there are a few important points to highlight. It is important to note that Kaya Kallas is still at the very beginning of her mandate and is still trying to find her style of leadership and how to work around EU foreign policy. If we compare her with her predecessor, Josep Borrell, who, before he became the High Representative, was the former Foreign Affairs Minister in Spain. On the other hand, Kallas previously was the Prime Minister of Estonia. And that means that they have had a very different kind of transition to becoming a High Representative. It is possible that Kallas is more used to leading the government and overseeing various issues, while Borrell was already focused on international relations and diplomacy, and perhaps knew better how the system works. She also mentioned in her speeches that she's used to getting things done faster in Estonia. But the EU is a much more complicated system, and it involves a lot of different actors to work with.
Kalla's work as the High Representative has just begun, and it is possible that she does not have the confidence yet, like Borrell, to come up with more original and bold solutions. Borrell, later in his mandate, announced decisions in advance, like supplying fighter jets for Ukraine to pressure member states. We are yet to see this kind of proactivity from Kallas. In general, Kaja Kallas is trying to be influential in a different way. We can see an evolution throughout her speeches, where in the initial ones, she mentioned more of her background coming from a state that has suffered Russian oppression, but now she seems to focus more on protecting democracy and human rights, possibly to be more persuasive and consensual as well towards Western European member states to encourage their support for Ukraine. She is also institutionally trying to push for a bigger role for the European Defence Agency in the Readiness 2030 plan to manage joint defence projects under her command, instead of giving that role to a new EU department.
In her declaration, we can see that Ukraine is her top priority, and she advocates for member states to see the importance of the need for European unity and continuous unwavering support for Ukraine. However, Kaja Kallas is also constrained in her role due to the EU's institutional framework. She has to work with member states, all of whom have different issues, interests and priorities. Therefore, decision-making takes a long time and is very complicated. She must also navigate between the European Commission and the European Council and coordinate action with their respective presidents. We have yet to see how Kaja Kallas will evolve in her role and what other challenges this institutional cycle will bring. This is the end of today's episode. You will find the full list of sources and credits published on the website of the EU as a Global Actor project. Thank you for being together with us today, and we hope you enjoyed this podcast.